Have you always felt that you were special, but yet you're not able to get to that place? You're not able to do what's been placed inside of you. For some reason or another, you feel blocked or hindered. You know you need to get there, but for some reason, you can't. Well, stay tuned for today's message, because today I'm going to talk to you about how to bring this stuff out that God has placed in you.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This is the message titled, Before Your Mother's Womb, by Nathaniel Bronner. This message is number 2030. And now for Before Your Mother's Womb.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the Word. And today we're going to be primarily studying from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, beginning at the 4th verse. And it reads thus, The Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And I'm going to speak a few minutes today from the subject, before your mother's womb. Now, this 5th verse of the 1st chapter of Jeremiah is a rather enigmatic verse. It's kind of one of those mysterious, deep verses of the Bible, where here he says, God tells Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So the question begs, well, where was he before his mother's womb? God didn't say that. All God says is, I knew you before you entered your mother's womb. So I speak from today, before your mother's womb. And it's not just Jeremiah who said that. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at the 11th verse, Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happens, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. Paul even later talks about predestination and how he predestined some of us before we even came out. But Jeremiah is the one that we know most of all. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. So just as with Jeremiah, God knows you. God set you apart, and God appointed you for something. He knows you. He set you apart. That's why he says, my people are peculiar people. We are a remnant. We're not supposed to be like the masses. We're supposed to come apart from the world. We're supposed to be different from the world. If you're doing like everybody else, you're not set apart. You're just in the crowd. So God says, even before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I set you apart, and I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Now, when God told Jeremiah this, Jeremiah followed a pattern that is rather typical of us. God told him, I knew you before you entered your mother's womb. I set you apart. I appointed you for this. But right in verse 6, Jeremiah says, Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I am too young. The Lord replied, Don't say I am too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. Often when God gives us a job, gives us a destiny, our first response is an excuse. That's what Moses says, Lord, I'm not of eloquent speech. I can't speak well. You want me to go before Pharaoh? And I am of slow speech. I stutter. The richest man in the world right now is Elon Musk. He has Asperger's syndrome. He doesn't talk very elegant or very smooth. I remember the richest black man in Atlanta was Herman Russell. And I remember he was being honored at an entrepreneurial banquet, and he couldn't say the word entrepreneur clearly. Musk cannot speak very eloquently, but he's the richest man in the world. Moses, Lord, I'm slow of speech. I can't speak well. Jeremiah, Lord, I'm too young. So when God presents the destiny, when God has placed it in your gut what you are to be and what you are to do and where you can rise to, the first natural response is an excuse. Because when God gives you a destiny, it is never where you are. And generally, when God gives you a destiny, it is not within your immediate vision for the vast majority of people. But those who embrace it, and there's a difference between those who embrace it. I've told you my company has to read a book every single month. The last book that we just finished with, matter of fact, the book report is due tomorrow. It's Barbara Streisand's book. But it's interesting when you read her book. This woman had a vision that she was going to be a famous actress since she was 5 years old. And everything she did centered around that. She never wavered. She never lost the vision. Even in her book, it says even when she was ushering in the theater, she would cover her face because she didn't want people to see her ushering because she said she knew she was going to be a famous actress one day. She had such a strong vision, and God granted her with the vision and the voice. But often when God will tell us something, we can't see what we're supposed to be. I struggle with that same thing myself. But how am I going to get a 4,200-seat church? You know how big that is? Raising the dead. Nobody raising the dead around here that I know of. So how am I going to do this stuff? That the first thing we have is an excuse, because usually what God will show us is so far beyond where we are. Living to 116, I don't know anybody that. Matter of fact, that's the oldest man on earth. No man on earth is 116. So how you going to tell me I'm going to get all this stuff and I don't even know anybody doing this stuff? I just finished Elon Musk's book yesterday. This man flying rockets when nobody else, all the war that is going on in the other countries, they're having to use his satellite system because nobody else has a satellite system that works. His goal is to go to Mars. Nobody been to Mars. But his vision is so strong that he'll achieve it because he won't let anything deter him. What has God placed on you before you were born? He knew you. He knew you. He separated you and he appointed you. But you got to know what he appointed you to do. And the excuses can sometimes kill us because we cannot see the vision. Because when God appoints you for something, it's never going to be where you are. It's always going to be something that's going to strain you and stress you and take you out of your comfort zone. Jeremiah 1:8 says, God said, and don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. When God is with you, who can be against you? Now, I believe it's folks who can be against you. I remember in my old church where I used to attend, Reverend Borders, he would often quote that scripture. And he said one time he was quoting that scripture, if God is for you, who can be against you? And a little old lady in the back told me, Negroes. So yes, folk can be against you, but they just can't succeed against you. So when God is for you, you will have opposition. None of the prophets were able to do this stuff smooth. All of them at one point got tired. They lost faith. They got scared. It's like what happened with Elijah, with Jezebel. She had Elijah scared, and then Elijah ran. And then Elijah said, Lord, there's nobody in that whole city but me. I'm the only prophet you got. God said, I got 7,000. Who've never bowed their head to Baal. Sometimes you think you're all alone and you think that all of this stuff is so scary, but when God has commissioned you, you'll be able to do what he has commanded, but you've got to be faithful to it. Verses 1-9, then he says, then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. You can tell when you got God's anointing on you. He will make it where you can do what he has appointed and he has anointed you to do, because there becomes a power when you walk in that anointing. But you got to know what that anointing is. Some things we just not anointed to do, but we want to do them. But God has never destined nor anointed us for that. I see my son Christian, and I see him at the keyboard, and he's been anointed for that. He has perfect pitch. I remember when I was in the music business and a prophet walked into the studio and he said, you'll never be successful in this business. And the man had never been wrong, and he wasn't wrong about that. But the same prophet said, you won't accomplish what you want to do in this business, but your son will. I'm not anointed for it. And I remember when we were in the studio recording the Brothers of the Word theme song. And I remember Christian laughing at his daddy because his daddy was so off pitch. I'm not anointed for it. And you got to know when you are anointed for something and when you are not. It was not my destiny. And I gave it everything I had, but it was not my destiny. You got to know what you are anointed for. What has God anointed you for, called you for, separated you for before you even born? And this is a knowledge that it'll help you to get where you need to go. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down and destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. Then the Lord said to me, look, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I replied, I see a branch from an almond tree. And the Lord said, that's right. And it means that I am watching, and I will certainly carry out all of my plans. I want you to understand this. If God knew you before you entered your mother's womb, he knows you now. If he knew you before you entered your mother's room, don't you think he knows you now? Don't you? That's why he's telling Jeremiah, I'm watching. I'm watching. I got you. Do what I tell you to do. I got you. So for those of you, and God spoke today, he says really only one person this message is for, and I don't know who in the world that is, but all it takes sometimes is one. And there is a mission that God has placed inside of you, and you got these excuses. And sometimes the excuse is in a physical realm. Lord, you know, I don't have the education. I don't have the money to do what you told me to do. I'm scared to do it. And sometimes, many a time, it's just the other plain excuse. I just don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. So sometimes it's just that we just don't want to do it because we want to do what we want to do. But you've got to know, what has God appointed you to do? And sometimes we look at other folk and we want to be like Mike, and God ain't appointed you to be like Mike. You don't have the gifting to be like Mike. You don't have the drive to be like Mike. You don't have the height to be like Mike. And well, which Mike you talking about? Any Mike. Something. You got plenty of good big Mikes out there. You don't have the ability to be like any of them. That's not your calling. So you got to know, what has God appointed you to do? And the other thing that we have to understand is, just like with Elijah, there were 7,000 others in the kingdom. But if Elijah didn't know them, it means they weren't big. You can be doing the will of God, and God has appointed you to just be a waiter in a restaurant. Martin Luther King said that if he's appointed you to be a street sweeper, you need to be the best sweeper alive, dead, or yet unborn. You need to sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. You need to be the best of whatever God has called you to do. The 7,000, Elijah didn't even know they existed. Now, he was a big shot prophet. And see, a lot of us, if God, you call, I want to be a big shot in it. I don't want to be no little shot. I want to be a big shot. God may not call you to be a big shot. He may call you to serve in a spot that nobody knows. But you are in that spot, and you can transform lives, and you make a change. And sometimes what you may do affects someone else, and into someone else who becomes a big shot, but they never would have been the big shot without you as your little shot. So you need to do what God has appointed you to do, not what your ego wants you to do. I remember with Mr. Cotton, Mr. Cotton said, God told me to keep the grounds of the church clean. He told me to cut the grass, keep the outside of the church. That is my mission. And see, Elijah, he did such a phenomenal job. I remember see Elijah tried to get him to cut the grass at his house. Mr. Cotton, he didn't call me to do that. He didn't call me to do that. What God called me to do was to take care of the outside of this church. So sometimes you got to know and have your heart up. And some of them say, I don't want to cut no grass. I don't want to do that. I want something that I can be seen. No, sometimes God, he's working on your humility. God will have a multitude of purposes for what he calls you to do. And just like he said, with what I want, I said, Lord, if I see my hand glowing, first thing was pow. Lord, I want everything. Because first of all, even I'm putting it over my eyes, because my eyes are not good as they used to be. My hearing is excellent, but my eyes, so I want to put it over my eyes. Lord, I'm going to go over everything. I'm going to put it everywhere. There might not even be any left for the folk by the time I get through anointing me. So what God has appointed for you to do may not be for you. And you've got to have your mind and your spirit open. But I can guarantee you this, whenever you do what God has told you to do, there are blessings untold. I listened to Gerald as he taught on Friday. He always teaches Render My Money first Friday of every month at 7 o'clock, January through June. He says, I've been teaching this class for 15 years. And he taught it for years. And many of you know about this huge financial blessing he got. God had him teaching that. And he did it for years without a penny. And then he was rewarded beyond belief. You can't beat God giving, and you can't beat God serving. And anything that you do that is ordained and orchestrated and appointed by God, you've got some great blessings in it, even if you die. Because all of the disciples, everyone but John, all of them died violent, horrible deaths. But they got rewards that were just beyond comprehension. So if you do what God has told you to do, it brings blessings that you can't even begin to imagine. But you got to first of all recognize. And sometimes some of you have got to just ask, because he's been telling you, and after a while he just get tired of telling you because you won't listen and you've closed off your spirit. Lord, what do you want me to do? Tell me what you want me to do. And then you got to open up your spirit, because 9 out of 10 times you don't want to do it. If it's something you want to do, you're already doing it. So 9 out of 10 times you don't want to do it. So you have to open your spirit up. Lord, what do you want me to do? And see, he knew us before we entered our mother's womb. I just finished a book, and the family had 3 triplets because the wife couldn't get pregnant, so they went through IVF, in vitro fertilization, and they just had a baby implanted. And normally, if you use IVF, a lot of times you get multiple births. So they had triplets. But what they said was this: the same genetics, same mama, same daddy, same sperm, same egg, same environment, same genetics. But they said all 3 of them just different. They look just alike, but they're just different. They all got different personalities. They got different drives. They want different things. Because even though the physical was identical, the spirit was not, because God formed the spirit before it entered into their mother's womb. Your spirit was formed before it entered into your mother's womb. And even with my children, same mama, same daddy, same household. Every one of their personalities and talents, radically different. And the last one, the youngest, George. George's name was spoken when Christian was in the womb. And my wife was pregnant with Christian, probably 5 months pregnant. And God spoke Christian and George. His name was spoken 4 years before he was born and 3 years before he was conceived. God knew him years before he ever entered his mama's womb, just like he knows you. So the question becomes, Lord, will I ask you, what have you separated me for? What have you appointed me for? What gifts have you given me? What do you want me to do with my life? And if you truly ask God that question, but most importantly, you listen. We have a fellow who works with Bronner Brothers now, and he's an older gentleman, but he gets there almost before anybody else, stays there longer than anybody else. And James told me how old he was. And I asked C. Elijah, I said, how old do you think Kirk is? He said, oh, he's about 70, maybe early 70s. I said, Kirk is 89. He said, what? So I said, I got to come see this man. See, anytime somebody has something there and they're where you want to be, and this man working and vibrant, his mind just as sharp as a razor, I said, I got to go see this man. So I went and I talked with him, and I told him I even wanted him to meet my sons, and he said, we'll go out there. And I said, man, you have great wisdom as long as folk listen to your wisdom. He said, yep, that's the problem. Folk won't listen. I'm 89. I'm still in good health. My mind just as sharp as it can be, but folk won't listen. God is a lot older than 89, and he's a lot smarter than Kirk. But the key is you got to listen. So if you ask, and I believe that's even why our finances have been so blessed here at the church, because we no longer really talk about tithing. We just tell you, bow your heads for 10 seconds and ask God, Lord, what shall I give? But you got to be able to listen, because if you won't listen with your money, you're not going to listen with anything else. Because money is easy to do compared to lifestyle changes. So if you won't listen to him about your money, you're not going to listen about anything else. But you need to bow and just ask God, provided you're going to listen. If you're not going to listen, don't even waste your time. Don't waste your time. Don't waste God's time. So you need to bow your head and just ask, Lord, what is it that you want me to do that I'm not doing? And I know some of you right now are thinking, well, Pastor, I'm old. I'm too old. I'm way too old to make any changes right now. No, you're not. You're breathing, aren't you? And if you got in this church, you got to be in pretty good shape because we don't have any handicap access. So if you got in this church, you're moving pretty good. And if Kirk can do it at 89, then what's your excuse? Because the first thing that's going to happen when God tells you is you're going to have an excuse. Lord, I'm too this, I'm too that, I don't have this, I don't have that. That's the first thing. Just as God knew you before you entered your mother's womb, don't you think God knows what you got? You don't think God knows your bank account? He knows exactly what you got to the penny, and he knows what checks are outstanding going to hit tomorrow. God knows. So if God tells you, it means it can be done as long as you have a willing spirit to focus and get it done. So I just want us for 10 seconds right now. I just want you, if you're going to listen, if you're not going to listen, don't even bow. But if you're going to listen, I want you to just bow your head for just 10 seconds. The Lord, please, just let me know. And some of you is going to be let me know again. Let me know. What is it that you want me to be and to do? God spoke to at least one. And he told me before this message is primarily for one person. If you bowed your head, he spoke to that one. I have no question about that. And one can change the world. One person, and God is a majority. One person can change the world. And it's like Jesse Jackson said, if not you, who? And if not now, when? So if God has spoken it into your world, spoken it into your spirit, start today. And it will change you, first of all, because there is a great blessing in obedience to God, a blessing that goes beyond our human understanding. There is phenomenal blessing and following what God has ordained and destined you to do. And if you didn't bow your heads today, think about it for later. Once you have decided, I'm going to do what I hear the Lord speak for my destiny. And it may cause some great changes with some of you. It's not too late. If God speaks it, you can do it. And even if you think you can't, he'll send the resources. It's the way God works. And when God has given mission and great mission, there's usually always a mysterious cloud as to how you're going to get it done. How can this thing be? How can this happen with little old me? Little old you and God is an unstoppable force. Know your destiny and go to your destiny. We've only got about 3 minutes left, man. We're going to be out of time. And see, that's one of the things God told us, be out on time 3 out of 4 Sundays. So we stick to that. And some people don't understand that. Rich folk on time, poor folk late. I don't want to be in the late category. Yeah, that's any way you go. That's any way you go. Rich folk on time, poor folk late. So God, he gives you a pattern that follows blessings. And we don't have to be on time every Sunday, but we do 3 out of 4 Sundays. So we're just going to say a prayer as we dismiss for today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for even letting us know our purpose, our mission. And for some, Lord, it may be, well done, my good and faithful service. You don't have to do anything else. You've done all you're supposed to do. Go and take your ease. But for some of us, the battle is ahead. The mission is ahead. The great destiny that's ahead for us is in front of us, not behind. And Father, let us not consider age, physical or financial condition. Let us not consider race or education. All you need is a willing vessel, and you can perform miracles. Lord, help us to be that willing vessel for your will, your command, your anointing, and your appointing. In thy Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the Word. Amen,
amen, amen. You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled, Before Your Mother's Womb, by Nathaniel Bronner. This message is number 2030. That's 2030. To listen to thousands of free messages, or to send this message number 2030 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because, brother, you need the Word. From Brothers of the Word.